God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety who would like to welcome you? If you need numbers or help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we can help you with that. So you can either raise your hand electronically or wave at the camera. And I'm just scrolling through. So it looks like Ray. All right, Ray, welcome. How many days do you have?
This is my first meeting, probably my first day.
Fantastic. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you.
If you reach out to any of the hosts in the chat, we'll be able to connect you with other guys in the program. Anyone else in their first 30 days? Okay. The preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing part one of steps 8 and 9. And I'll go ahead and start sharing screen. Step 8 and 9. 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And 9 made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Please welcome tonight, our panelists are Iran and Robert. And we will have our first reading starting on page 76. I'll read a section from the big book and then we'll allow our panelists to respond to each. Now I did fail to ask Iran and Robert who will be leading us off. So fight over that while we read through the first section.
Iran, if you like.
Okay. All right, so our first piece from page 76. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And I think I heard that Iran will start first. So Iran, you should be unmuted.
Okay. Hi, my name is Iran. I'm a real alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 27, 2009. I have a sponsor. I have the privilege of sponsoring other men in this program. I like drinking. I love the effect that's produced by alcohol. And I know we're talking about step 8 and 9, but I can't talk about them without talking about all the other steps that come before it really quickly. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was broken down, disgusted, and I didn't want to do these 12 steps. I wanted to kind of do my own thing, and that got me absolutely and utterly miserable and broken. And then I went back out and drank again, and I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous, a broken man, one more time. And with that, I did the 8 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was absolutely miserable. I decided, I thought I would try to kill myself because I was unwilling to do step 9. And I had not really done an appraisal. I hadn't really done anything. I remember my first inventory, the guy looked at me and said, that was well thought out. And I was like, yeah, see, that's well thought out. And the truth, I didn't realize that well thought out meant like you didn't do dooley squat and you're lying. And that's exactly what it was for me. So when I got here, step 1, I mean, my life was unmanageable. I was really powerless to that first drink. I understood what it was like to, once I started, could not stop. I had a mind that would constantly get me drunk. I went through that step pretty amazingly, fighting and bitter and loveliness. Figuring out God was a big problem for me in steps 2 and 3 until someone just noted that, oh, I don't have to figure it out. I just have to, you know, be willing to try something different. And then step 4, I wrote down some inventory again, and I wrote down what, why I was mad. My sponsor says, I can find column 1 and column 2 at any bar, anywhere in the world currently right now. And so it was time for me to do the other 2 columns. And I went through those other, an inventory, and I sat down and I did an honest appraisal about myself. And in that time, I had a sort of a list of people I knew that I had wronged and I needed to make right. And then I went and had a quiet hour, and I became willing to make an, I became willing that I wasn't, that I couldn't live this way any longer. And I was ready for God to take care of that for me. I didn't know what that meant. I still had some sort of reservations for a few things, but I was willing not to continue to live the way I was living. And I was willing to try something different. And then we got here to this, I loved it. It says, remember we agreed at the beginning, we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And that's all that, that's all this eight step list is about for me, is the victory over alcohol. I came to this point one time before and I didn't do anything with this list. I just sat on this list and I was miserable, more miserable without a drink, knowing the truth about myself, that picking up a drink, I couldn't do, it wasn't going to do anything for me, but I could not live without a drink anymore. And there was only one way out. And I was at this point again, and this is where I was. And so, but this time I was ready for victory over alcohol. I was really to set aside everything I think I knew about myself and alcohol and the people about me. And I was willing and ready to try to do something else. With that, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. Maya? Okay, rock on. Yeah, like Iran, I'm actually really super happy that step 8 and 9 are exactly where they're supposed to be, because I wasn't really ready to do any of that before I was guided through the other steps. So faith without works is dead. I really kind of like that. That resonated very heavily with me. I think it's really important to put pen to paper in the other steps, but clearly, step 8 is not super complicated for me, or at least it wasn't the way I was shown. Step 8, we read it, we go ahead and get a piece of paper, and we make an amends list. Now, my step 8 list is a little bit different than my step 4 list, or my resentment list. Sure, I wronged the people that I was mad at, and I was justified back in the day, but I hurt some people that I didn't have any resentment on. They were just victims of happenstance, of me being who I was, in the mindset that I was, in the grips of a deadly disease we call alcoholism. So making a list for me, there was all the names on the 4th step, but we have to sprinkle a few more names or institutions on the 8th step. And if I was willing to do that at that point, and I think step 8 and step 9, my personal experience has been a very personal step, like most of the steps, but this one for sure. I need guidance on this step a lot. As far as making a list, I got really kind of freaked out. I'm like, oh man, I might never make that. And they're like, dude, are you willing? And I'm like, maybe, but yeah, let's go ahead and make the list. Let's do step 8. Let's not worry about step 9 because we're not at step 9 yet. We're at step 8. We're just making a list. Lists aren't going to bite you. So just make a list. I prayed like I normally do. I meditated. I asked other people. I'm not alone in this program. So I made a list. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Robert. We'll continue reading on page 76. Okay, it says, probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of businesses, acquaintances, and friends we've hurt, we may feel different about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured, to some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discovery. Irene?
Okay. So this paragraph is funny because it's like humility, 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 humility. It just says humility to me. Every single line is about setting aside what I think I know and taking into consideration somebody else and making this right. I love my favorite line, especially my first like 6 years, was this line, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I love that line because it gave me a real purpose at this point in my sobriety. Like when I got to this point, it gave me a real understanding of what I'm here to do, to fit myself to be of maximum service to God, which means that I've got to set aside what I want, what I think I want, and what I think I need to allow God in. So I and to be helpful to the people about me, and that was that's a difficult thing for a guy like me, because I know when I without sponsorship, in the beginning I think I was just like ready to go jump out and do some amends, like let me go, hey, I screwed you over, and I'm ready to make it right, yay, love me, I'm fabulous, right? Like that's how I want to come at you, and like truth being, I hurt people. I lied, I stole, I stepped on them, I stole from them, I cheated, I did a lot of bad things to a lot of people, from businesses and principles and ideas, and I just wanted you to like me. And this is not what this is about. This is about righting the wrongs that I had done to people. This is about setting myself aside to have an idea of what I'm supposed to be doing to make this right. My when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, my real purpose was for me to feel better. And then the longer I stayed here, my real purpose was for me to get what I lost back. And then when I got to this point and having had a spiritual, some spiritual awakening sort of through some of these steps, I started realizing that my real purpose was to right all the wrongs I had done, to give back to these people that I had hurt and said I loved and that I cared for and had stolen them from. I love, it says a sincere desire. Like I don't come with most sincere anything when I first got here, but I had a sincere desire after going through this, after trying to kill myself and surviving through that. And after going, all right, I'm ready to do this. I had a sincere desire to realize that my way of living was absolutely wrong and I couldn't do this on my own anymore. I was sincerely proven in my heart that the way you guys were living might be better. And if you guys wanted me to do this thing, I was willing to do it. I was willing to do whatever it took to not feel the way I felt when I first got here. The other line, I love that it's like, don't come at it like, hey, I found God, so love me. You know, like I found, so how, you know, like, it's like, hey, it says, even though I have or have not found God at this point or understand him, that's like, it's about, hey, look, I did some things. These are the things I did. And I was wrong for that. And it's this paragraph sets me up for that attitude. I love how it talks about it earlier in the third step, this attitude. He's the Father, I'm the Son, principal agent. This is the same attitude. I'm not in charge. Don't forgive me because I'm fabulous. I was wrong. This is the attitude I walk in with. I was wrong, and I want to make it right. And I love that. It's like, that's like the premise of a lot of this conversation that we have throughout all these steps, is an attitude of me with this step and what that means. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm really happy you're unmuted. Okay, cool, sweet. Thanks, Irene. I like this step, like I do all the steps. And it was really important to me to seek guidance, even though I've been working for a little bit on this program, it's still really important not to go ahead and run the show. And the way AA is set up for me and my experience in AA is I'm not alone and I don't have to be alone. And it's okay to seek guidance in things. And especially in step 9, it's really important because I'm kind of a bulldozing kind of guy. There's an objective, let's go do that. And there's an objective in step 9. And that's what I like about the program is each person has an individual journey in this. And they find a sponsor or guide that's right for them. And they go ahead and communicate with that guide. And then they go ahead and feed off that experience and then make their own experience. So I don't think there's really a right or wrong way to do things. I believe in a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I went with that. And so did my sponsor. And I like this one little paragraph that it says right here, because there's very clear-cut instructions, or simple actions, you might say, in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one of them, it's telling me, and I totally agree with Iran, that is my favorite part about that. It is to go ahead and let me find it. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and the people about us. So what does that mean when I'm doing this specific step? And they kind of hint on that. Don't lead with the chin. Don't lead with, you know, hey, I'm spiritual now. Because they might not be ready for that. That's great that I'm in recovery. Yippee for me. And it's great that my life's getting better. But the people that I'm going to, they might not be ready to hear any of that. And the whole purpose of amends is not for me to feel better. It's not for me to stay sorry. It's not for forgiveness. At least this is my experience. My experience is, I broke something. I did something. Is there a way for me to make that better? Now, when I'm walking that very thin ice with people, people are fragile. They might not be in recovery. They might still be smarting from my injustice. I need to give people the time they need to go ahead and heal from the damage that I did. Now, I'm not going to shy away from anything. I'm not going to say, hey, I might cause them more harm, although they do say that in that. So I've got to be really careful on what I'm doing, because some of the stuff that I did, they didn't know about. So what I need to do is not cause more harm. The whole purpose of this is not to cause more harm. It's to be of service. So to be of service, I need to not go in there and give you a list of things that you didn't know I even did, or rehash things that you might have settled with. What I need to do is make an amends for the things that I did. I like a conversation. I'm not going to get in the way I do amends, but I do it very gently. I do it thorough. I do it very honest, and I am very willing to let the other person lead the show. Like Iran said, I wasn't the best son. I wasn't the best uncle, brother, friend, employee. I wasn't none of those things. I did the best I could, but I could have done a lot better. So I like to go ahead and make sure that I clean up the past, but I also don't want to cause more harm when I'm doing that. So if I'm causing more harm to feel better, that doesn't seem like it fits in that definition of maximum service to God and to others. That seems like Rob, once again, needs his fix of feeling better and let me do more damage while making this very heavy, very important step. And that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Robert. Okay, our next reading takes us to page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our fault. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Okay, and Iran?
No regrets. Thinking about that commercial when I see that. My experience with this section is interesting because there were people I could not reach, and I had to write a few letters out, and I sent them out, and I've had no response. And they were and so my sort of like people I disliked that I wanted to make right, I still dislike them, so we're moving on. Anyway, I'm just joking. Like, my experience was really simple. Like, I didn't want to make the amends. First of all, I didn't want to make the amends. These amends came at a point in my life where it was do or die. I had been sober for a little bit, a couple of years. There was a couple of different things that were just kind of still settling on me. I remember I was like, all right, I was talking to my sponsor. He's like, well, write him a letter. Cause I called, they didn't take my phone call. So I wrote him a letter and they still didn't respond. And so it was, and I was still at a point in my life where I wanted people to like me no matter what. I was feeling better and I needed you to like me. And I think I still sometimes need you to like me, but I care a little bit less about that. but I was at a desperate point that I needed people to like me. And even if I disliked you, I still needed you to like me. If I put out effort, I needed you to respond. And if you don't respond, I just got angrier. And there was a moment in there. It's the fourth step. That's where God saved me. I didn't like their symptoms. I didn't like the way that they disturbed me. God saved me from being angry. Help me show them the same tolerance, patience, kindness I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. That prayer came in handy a lot for me, especially during amends process of people I dislike and people I had wronged. My favorite thing is it says I need it may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we're still not too keen about admitting our faults. Because if you've done something for me, I'm definitely not going to say I'm wrong to you first. But the thing about Alcoholics Anonymous that has changed my life is that I discovered I wanted to live. I discovered that I wanted to be different. I wanted to live differently, and I wanted to be free. And so I have to, in that state of mind, I have to acquire a certain, again, we're at that attitude. He's the Father, I'm the Son. It always comes back to that attitude. Everything, every step comes back to an attitude. Where am I at in this level of understanding for God and myself and this program and what are fit, which all comes down to, have I humbled myself enough and am I in enough pain to make it right? And am I willing to do the actions that you guys are offering me to do? I love that it talks about going with a helpful and forgiving spirit. And I didn't understand what that meant for a long time, but I totally know what it means to me today. It means that I want, whether they've done more to me than I've done to them, I'm going with the spirit, no matter what, is of the same spirit I would want them to have when I go to them. the same attitude, the same purpose, the same maximum service to God and the people about me, the same attitude that like, hey, look, you know what? I was wrong and I'm ready. And I don't care if you tell me you're wrong or not. I was just wrong. And I want to, that's a laugh.
Thank you, Iran. Appreciate that. First of all, I like the heck out of you, and I love you even more. This part, the enemy and the friend, am I willing? Okay, like Iran said, this is all about willingness. And the beautiful part about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a 12-step program. We're talking about step 9 right now, and you have given me spiritual tools and a habitual way to live and a lot of stuff before I approach this subject, especially with people that maybe have done us more harm. I believe there are victims in this world that did nothing wrong. They were just, can you guys hear me? David, give me a thumbs up. Okay, cool. Because I hear Iran like laughing or seeing whatever, sorry. So there are victims and there are people that have done harm, and the only other person that received that harm was at the wrong place at the wrong time, or they were born or something like that. So I do believe that there are victims. I put myself in a lot of stupid places and did a lot of stupid things. So there are people that have done me harm and done people that I loved a great deal of harm. And that took a long time to go ahead and stop playing God. Luckily, I can revert to step 2 and step 3 because I'm a firm believer in justice. And some people, I just really want to see them get justice. Luckily, I have the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, because if I scream that I want justice, if I got everything coming to me that I did, I wouldn't be in this Zoom meeting right now. I would be either dead or in prison. So let me not go ahead and be the judge, jury, and executioner of these people. This step is to free me of what Iran already talked about. Save me from being angry, clean up my side of the street, and go ahead and once again, get into the stream of being of service. And if I'm holding any weight, heavy weight, or if there's any little dark spot that I'm going to hold in, that's less room for God or the universe to move in my heart. And the money show, or the big show on this is to be a maximum service. There's a lot of benefits that come along with that. Obsession to drink, to leave is one. Not doing the same things that I've done in the past, that's good. And it really reinforces, is this just all word of mouth or is this from the heart and action? So there's a lot of praying. Wise people that have come before me said, pray about that person. Pray exactly what you want for them to come to you. And I did that through curse words and gritted teeth before I was ready to make a willing amends. And I kept on doing that till I was willing to make that amends. And something beyond a power greater than myself not only removed my alcoholism, the obsession to drink today, but it removed that bitter hatred and anger in the seeking of justice for these people that have done me wrong. So I'm willing to admit my faults in this situation, period. That's what I was told from my sponsor. Your side of the street, bub, not theirs. And I need to be super spiritually fit before going to an enemy, especially if they were a sick person, spiritually sick person. So, yep, that's all I got on that. Thanks for letting me share.
Great. Thank you, Robert. Okay. Again, on page 77, under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstrations, done our part. It's water over the dam. All right.
Thanks. Well, first of all, under no condition do we criticize such a person to argue. That's my first go-to. That's my go-to level of attitude. Demo, this whole paragraph is about, again, that attitude towards what I'm doing. And it also is clear-cut directions. And about what I'm doing. I'm there to sweep aside my side of the street, realizing nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we can do so. That's for me, not for them. And then never trying to tell him what he should do. That's a different attitude for a guy like me. I told you what you should be doing. I think when I came out of the womb, I told my mom how, you know what I mean? Like, that's my like go-to attitude. If you do this and that, and da-da-da, you're going to be fabulous and da-da-da. But this was about, I was wrong. And I don't have an agenda here. And I love that it says, if our manner is calm and frank, which is a miracle for a guy like me, because I'm dramatic and ridiculous, but if our manner is calm and frank and open, we will be gratified with the result, right? And so, but see, the funny thing was like, I was thinking like the result is gonna be like, it's gonna be like easy, like you forgive me, da da da, to ask me to do a few things and move on. Sometimes the result is, I don't ever wanna see you again. Sometimes the result is, I don't wanna sit down and talk with you. It's being okay with whatever the outcome is, no matter what time it is. That was a place to, that would take work. And then in 9 cases out of 10, unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we were calling upon admits his own faults. So feuds of years standing melt away in hours. See, that's the relationship I wanted with my parents. Like, you know, like I wanted that feud to disappear immediately when I'm better, mom. You know, like I remember in this, like this, like my sponsor was telling me, like, well, just, you know, if you be a son, show up, do what you say you're gonna do, like behave. And he did this by showing me examples of what it was like to be a son. He'd tell me about what he was doing with his mother. And like, so I would try it and I would do it. And after years and years, you know, like 5 years sober, I had a conversation with my mom and we were talking about work and me being gay and this other stuff, but we never use the word gay because we don't use that. That's a no-no. And so we were talking and having a conversation. She said, I was worried about you. And what came out of me is like, I was like, mom, don't you think God is all loving, forgiving, tolerant, patient, kind? And she said, yes. I said, then don't worry about me anymore. I'm okay. And that was the first time I was able to stand on my own based on Alcoholics Anonymous. And my mom saw that I had changed. I wasn't the same young man that she left. And then, you know, today she calls me. She calls me to do things with her. She calls and checks on. I haven't heard from you in a couple of days. What's going on? Those are all direct results. You know, these are like, I'm a guy that was never welcome home. And when all the stuff started, she's like, if you need to come home, come home. I'm a guy that when I got here was a mess. And today I'm still a mess, but a more loving, honest mess. And so, but what I know is that here, occasionally they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of this office. And that's the thing I had to be okay with. I had to be okay with, like, this might not work. And that a lot of people might not ever want to see me again. And then I've seen a lot of people that didn't want to see me again over time start wanting to see me again. This part is I love it. I call it my preparation to go to DMV. If you've ever been to DMV, this is the preparation to go to DMV. Like, DMV, I got all the paperwork right. I know what I did. I know what I got to do. I get there, I get to the front of the line, and I'm about to get my ticket, and they go, you missed something. I have to go back, get back in line, go all the way to the front. They give me a ticket, and I love this. I get to sit down, and I'm just waiting for my turn, and I'm watching people that were behind me go first. They're moving way faster than I'm moving. And then I get up to go do it. The result is always the same. It's a game of patience. I know that when I go to DMV, I'm going to get done what needs to be done. It might not be on my time. It might not be when I'm ready for it. But all I have to do is be patient. And if I have an attitude, right, a demonstration done on our part, whatever is done. So that's all I have.
Thanks for sharing, Iran. You knocked that out of the park. That's going to be hard to follow. So my experience on that is what Iran said. What I really enjoy about it is very specific words that I need to pay attention to. If our manner is calm, frank, open, we will be gratified with the results. There's a big difference between gratified with the results and I will be gratified with the outcome that I want. There are two different things there, the results and what I want. And this, I love, the DMV thing was top notch, because what I was explaining is Alcoholics Anonymous is a program of living. So this isn't a one step done thing. I can use all these steps all the time in my life as much as I possibly can, and I should do that. Don't always do that, but I should do that. So should I be frank, open, and calm? Probably so, because patience, when the universe was making me, I didn't get a big help into that. Very impatient person. So I need to be calm. I'm also a very excitable lad. A lot of passion. So I don't need any of the traits that I bring to the table. I need to bring the AA traits to the table. And at this point, I've been told, got my training wheels on, and I'm going down the street using the AA training wheels, trying to navigate life. And so far, I'm not running over people, which is great. I'm not making more messes, or bigger messes, I should say. I still make messes myself, brother. So it's just telling me what to do. Be calm, be frank, be open. There are going to be results. Ironically, this kind of like rings a distant bell. Where do I see that? I give my will and life over to God in one step. Somewhere, I've already done this. I give my will over to God, and then my life, the results of what's going to happen. I've already done this, but I did it with my higher power. It's easy to give my will. Oh, God, I won't be a jerk today. Woo, look at me. I'm doing God's will. Oh, but the results are terrible. I'm getting laid off. This sucks. I don't like these results. Well, wait a second, Junior. Didn't you just say you gave your will and life over to God? Well, I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing it on one of his kids. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to let the results up to my higher power, and that kid can play with the toy any way he wants it, and it's none of my business. So it's kind of a repetitive thing, but here in more of the, instead of the spiritual realm, which it's all spiritual, I get it, but instead of the spiritual realm, it's more like, hey, we're on earth, and we're doing this face-to-face, and that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Great. Thanks, Robert. Okay, page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us, arranging the best deal we can. We let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them.
Fear, money, going away, constant. It is the most constant fear I have. fear of like, I'm not gonna be able to do what I want, but I owe you money and I don't have enough money to do that. What am I gonna do here? I think I was just talking to my, before all this, the coronavirus didn't make it any better, but before that, I was already in fear of that. I'm constant fear, like I have these creditors, I have these things. And I love, like, the conversation is just so simple. Like, answer the phone and tell them what you can do. I can't do any more than that. And it's always hard. It's like, they're like, we want $155. I don't have $155. I have $20. I can do that for you right now. You don't want to do that right now. Well, this is what I can do. If you want to call me back on this day, I have $155. If that's how we're going to do this. Like, I can only be as honest with it as possible. But I know the truth of it. It always is always like, the truth always is when it comes to paying out more money than I have. It's just, I'm not going to get what I want. Which always takes me back to, how much faith do I have in God? Is God everything or is he nothing? If God is everything, then I can have a dollar and put it out. I continue to take actions, I'll have another dollar when the time is right to take care of the people that I wronged. I mean, I wronged them. I didn't pay them on time, whether the situation was whatever the situation is. I still have to take care of those things. When I came here, I had a lot of debt, and I have a lot of debt right now just because of the things I'm walking through, but I'm taking care of it. I'm setting these plans and I'm following through. And the funny thing is, if I can't make the appointment, I just call them and I go, hey, look, that amount that was supposed to come out of my account on Thursday, it's really not going to be there. So we need to rearrange that for another day. And do you know what? They usually are very like, all right, cool. Thank you for telling me. You know, they'd rather not waste their time calling. They'd just rather have their money. And I'd rather them have their money because I don't like to dodge phone calls. And so I haven't dodged a phone call yet. It's just the fear of it. And I love that it says, where's that? Where is it? More. We do not judge our creditors. That's first of all, I judge all you for calling me. Stop calling me. It's 9 o'clock. How am I? I'm working. You interrupted my time. If you calling me at night, I judge them, but they wouldn't have to call me if I'd have paid the bill on time in the first place. It's my perception. This fear of money, fear of not being loved, fear of not being good enough, they come on my inventory all the time. And in this 9-step amends process, it's always those things that I'm usually making amends for. I hurt you because you didn't give me what I needed. I'm hurting you because I wanted something more and I held out on the money that I owed you. And you're not giving me what I really truly need, and you're leaving me alone. And so I hurt you. Like, that has been like my process of that for a very long time. I think I'll have to check with my sponsor and make sure I said that right. Anyway, so, but my inventory always comes out to the same. It always comes out to the same truth. Rand's not getting what he wants. And if Rand's afraid of losing what he already has, and he's unwilling to make the things right that he has because he doesn't believe that God is big enough. If God is big enough, then there's nothing that he can't take care of. But my problem is, I start managing my life little by little. Let me do this. Let me manage this. Let me skip this. Let me not pay that. Let me move over here. Let me start managing my life. And I don't trust you, because you're going to screw me. I'm going to pay you $120 and I'm not going to have nothing. I have never, since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, not had anything. I've never not had a roof over my head. I've never had, when I smoked, I never went without a pack of cigarettes. I never had not had gas in my car. I've never not had power on, water. Like, I've never not been without. Either God is or isn't. This fear of paying these people is based on whether I believe God is big enough or not. I'm done.
Thanks for sharing, Iran. I love the fact that we fall back on the steps previously while we're doing this step. What an amazing concept. Let's not close the chapter on that one. Once again, am I God? Am I playing God? Is God everything or nothing? One of my, might be my favorite line in the big book. That's super simple. I like simple. The other thing that fear, and I'll get to my bills here in a second, but the fear, if I have fear or I'm angry, which I can get righteous about, you're hounding me for my money. Whoa, hold on. That's my old way of thinking. Oh, you want the money that I owe you. Oh, okay, I got that. Because I know when people owe me money, I would prefer to get paid at a reasonable time, most of the time. Sometimes I let things slide. But for the most part, they're not wanting my money. They want their money. I took their money. If I'm not planning to pay that back, a terrible word we could label that as stealing. I'm supposed to be practicing the spiritual way of life. And like Iran said, I don't have all the money to pay all the creditors that I owe. The cool part about it is I'm up to my debt and eyeballs. I've burned down the mission at least 3 times in my journey of sobriety, economically. Never had a drink over any of them. Came real close to drinking once over money. And that's because of that fear that Iran mentioned. I owed the IRS. A considerable sum, and it didn't bother me. I could go be a hippie and live on a ranch. I'm cool, I'm out, peace. But I have other people that depend on me, and I wanna make sure they're taken care of. And if I'm tangling with the IRS, they might take everything. And then my inability to adult and think of others has affected other people negatively, and that bothered me deeply, very deeply. I called people continuously, I prayed about it continuously, until I found the willingness that my higher power gave me, did I make that phone call. And like Iran said, an amazing thing happened. They're like, sure, we'll work for you. Oh, I'm not going to jail? No, we don't want you in jail. We want you working so you can give us our money back. Oh, you're not going to take the house? Nah, we're not in the real estate business. We just want our money. Okay, so what can we do about this? They're like, what can you do? And I'm like, this is what I can do. And they're like, let's do that. And it all worked out. Amazing how I stop playing God, I get rid of the fear, I can't do that by myself, I must take inventory, I must talk to people honestly. And then when that fear is removed, deeds, not words, I'm not yapping away, I'm actually taking action, and then boom, it's gone. It's in the rear view mirror, now I can go ahead and wreck it again if I don't get guidance. The cool part, and this is just staying with this, they got a job to do. When people are calling me, they're just like me. They got a job to do. When I do answer the phone, I answer very cheerfully. And they're like, Mr. Lees. I'm like, yep, this is him. And they're like, you owe us money. I'm like, I sure do. How's your day going? And they're usually taken back by that. They're like, this is a credit card company. I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. And they're like, do you have any money for us? I'm like, no, not right now. And I said, it's a win-win for you guys. I'm willing to pay you and I want to pay you, but I'm stone cold broke right now. I can't pay you. Here's the deal. It keeps you in a job. Your company's making way more money off of me, off the penalties and interest. And it's a win-win all the way around. I promise I will pay you because that's what I'm supposed to do. And as soon as I get that money, you're going to get some. So call me in 2 weeks when I get paid again, and we'll start this process. So it's a process of, once again, of being willing and doing the right thing. Maybe doing the right thing is not running off credit card. I don't know. I'm only a little bit into this. But anyhow, staying on point or trying to. I got to pay people back their money. I don't want to steal anymore. I need to, once again, amend what I broke. It's a process. It's a very individual process. Everybody gets guidance. Go do you with a spiritual advisor. And yeah, that's all I got. Thanks for the show.
Thanks, Robert. So this will be our last reading of the evening, and we'll keep responses a little short. So the last reading, we're on page 79. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
Oh my God, yes. So, short, Robert, love you. Thank you so much. Thank you all for letting me be here. This comes to mind. I looked up the word shrink earlier, and it was like to draw back or avoid. That sounds like I ran. But this line reminds me of I was 3 years sober. I had stolen someone's identity, and nobody knew, and I had to go, and I wanted to go make it right. And I called the Norfolk Police Department, and they were like, we can't do anything about it. So I thought I'd be cool and be like, I'm done. And then I couldn't live that way because I had to get it taken care of. Wrote them a letter. They pressed the charges. I went in, turned myself in, got out. I'm a great citizen of the world. I was 7. The prosecuting attorney wanted to give me 7 months. My lawyer wanted to give me 1 year probation. I was like, let's take 7 months. And my sponsor was like, let's go to the end and see what God has in store. I hate when that happens. So we go to the end and see what God has in store. We're standing right there and in the courtroom, and the judge looks at me. She says, let me get this right, Mr. Parker. So first of all, nobody knew, you turned yourself in, and now you're here to make it right. And I was like, yes, Your Honor. She goes, I don't know what to do with you. And I was like, most people don't. Shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so close. And then she's like, the prosecutor still gives me 7 months. My lawyer wants to give me 1 year probation. And she said, I don't want him caught in our system. I want him back out there doing whatever he is doing, which is a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. What she gave me 30 days. And in that process, again, it comes back. I'm making this amends, and I go turn myself in. And when I go turn myself in, the paperwork was right. I go to turn myself in again a couple of days later, the paperwork still wasn't right. I go to turn myself in a third time, and the paperwork still wasn't right. I did look at my sponsor and go, what does it take for a black man to get arrested in Virginia? Because it was hard. I don't care what people say, it was hard. It's really, really hard. And then so we go in the fourth time I get there, and I get arrested, I get taken upstairs. While I'm up there, I meet this guy who got sober in prison. I met this other guy later on that thought if he stopped drinking and driving, he'd be okay. And then we start going through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous right there in our cell. And then the point of that is this line that says we must lose, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. Because to shrink is to avoid is to die. For me, I'm a guy. To avoid making these amends, I wanted to kill myself. When I know that a drink isn't going to be the solution anymore, and I know that I can't live without a drink because I don't like the way I'm sober. Every single time I get a little antsy, I mean, I'm not one to do anything unless I'm on fire. My body's on fire. My mind's on fire. I'm going to jump up. I'm going to be a master. Oh, Jedi. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to do everything. But the truth being, I must not shrink in anything, no matter what it is. The amends process is about clearing away the wreckage of my past, so that my future can be free. So that my real purpose is that I can be of maximum service to God and the people about me. These experiences, these stories, these things that I've walked through with my head held high, no matter what, not a single person in Alcoholics Anonymous judged me while I was walking through this process. No one said anything horrible. They just watched me walk, and they said, I'm here with you, shoulder to shoulder. They trudged this road of happy destiny with me. And today I get that freedom. And so if you're new, please, find someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves, which means that they know that once they start, they cannot stop, and they have a mind that will constantly get them drunk, who's willing to take you through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I have found to be in this book named Alcoholics Anonymous, one step at a time. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing, brother. Oh, you are unmuted. Thanks for sharing, Iran. That was awesome, as usual. Yeah, I wiped my eyes on that one. I like that one a lot. Real quick, because I think we might be running out of time. Yep, we sure are. So I'll make it super quick. The thing that really stood out to me, we ask that we be given strength, direction to do the right thing. We ask. Who are we asking here, people? I'm asking my higher power because I'm scared. I'm asking what the consequences. Iran already nailed it. It's going to be what it's going to be. God is everything. God is nothing. So I'm going to ask my higher power, unlimited source. Tap that unlimited source. Ask him it, they, to give you and give me the power to do the next right thing, and it will be what it will be. It's a really trippy program for me because I want to go ahead and say, this is why this has happened. 1 + 1 = 2. That's not been my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's bigger than that. It is some Elon Musk stuff that I don't understand. And the thing is, what if my experience, strength, and help helps another person? Maybe my higher power, I did something wrong. I need to make an amends for that. That's what this is about. But is it possible that he's given me the strength to do this, to walk through this, to help another person? AA does that for me. I don't intentionally make mistakes. I don't intentionally do these things. But when I do them, I make them right. Why do I make them right? So I can be a maximum service. And then who knows, what I label as bad could actually save somebody else's life. That's happened to me numerous times in AA, hearing somebody else speak on their experience that they walked through sober, like Iran said, gave me the strength and courage to do that too. So if I mess up, I'm not perfect, I'm human, but I'm willing to make that amends. And I better be willing to ask for strength and the willingness to do that. And if I don't have the willingness to do the action, I pray that I'm willing to pray for the strength and guidance to do so. I cannot stay sober on my own. I do not believe that for one iota. And if I could, I'd be a hot mess. So I want to leave an emotional, clean, sober life. AA provides that to me. This book provides it to me. My sponsor and you people do that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. Iran and everybody, I love y'all. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you both so much for the shares tonight. This was great. We are going to go ahead and wrap up the meeting. We're at 8 o'clock, so a few things here. Just a reminder of the seventh tradition, which states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. You will see the links in the chat pod for donating to the various levels, intergroup, local service district, general service office. Those are available for you to go to. Are there any announcements for the group? You can raise your hand electronically, or if you have your camera up, give us a wave.
Alcoholic David, what a great meeting. Thank you guys so much. I put the link for last night's talk that Sharon gave on the Ask It Basket. For anybody who wants to click on it and listen to it again, it's available in an MP3, also on the simpleactions.net website. And please come back next Sunday at 7 p.m., speaker/Ask It Basket. We have Polly Pistol from Florida next week. Thanks.
Great. I didn't see anyone else. So let's see. Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hands. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks that raised their hands. Sponsorship in AA is yours to be asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room when we close. So please stick around to talk to us, or feel free to email info@simpleactions.net with questions. Thank you to everyone who has participated this evening. We will go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. You will be able to unmute yourselves for that. And very importantly, to thank our panelists. So make sure that is an option here. Perfect. All right, so the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
The power,
the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.